Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
On the line is Dr. Francis Cabana, who is the Assistant Director of Zoology and Wildlife Nutritionist at the Wildlife Reserves Singapore, and Dr. Lee Hui Mien, who is the Vice President for Sustainable Solutions at the Mandai Park Development. Good morning and welcome to you both.
Good morning.
It's great to have
you. Thanks for having us here.
Oh, pleasure. It's great to have you both on. And when we think about this idea of sustainability and World Oceans Day coming up on Monday, tell us a little bit more. Now at the park, at the Wildlife Reserve Singapore, you're working toward a goal of 100% sustainable seafood by 2023, but set the stage for us. What is the imperative? What's the overfishing problem that we should be addressing right now?
Well, the overfishing problem is that the quantity of food that is sustainable is really low. So we have to make smart choices. And since we're a conservation organization, you know, we're dedicated to the protection of wildlife and their habitats. So we need to adopt best practices in sustainability, from championing responsible purchasing and sustainable consumption within our parks. Because at the same time, every time we buy food or we buy anything, we're kind of voting with our money, with our dollar. So the more we can encourage sustainable seafood or sustainable practices, then hopefully that will carry on through to everywhere else, really, and then there will be more supply.
And the issue with overfishing, of course, just to put it into context, is firstly, we've overfished stocks globally. I mean, we've tripled our overfishing in just over half a century. Plus, of course, you've got the issue of bycatch, haven't you? Where you're catching one thing, you're catching tuna, for example, or you're catching the ingredients of sushi, but you're also catching dolphins and turtles and so on. And so you're putting those marine mammals, that marine wildlife, at risk. So overfishing, bycatch, these are issues that have never been more relevant today. Wouldn't that be fair to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that. And let's not forget that the world population is also rising. So with people getting affluent, the demand for seafood has just grown enormously. So from a demand and supply perspective, you would imagine that nature is not replenishing at the rate that we can see.
Yeah, Hui Mien, maybe I'll just carry on with you. In your work with sustainable solutions at the Mandai Park Development, what is the approach that you guys are taking and what is your strategy towards sustainability? Because you use a lot of resources to keep the parks going. What is your approach?
So at Mandai Park Holding, we're dedicated to commit to the protection of wildlife and habitat. Hence, as a conservation organization, sustainability is really the core of what we do. It's one of our values, from developing the new parks right now to operating the park. We do look at optimization of resources, anything from water, waste, energy. We review the efficiency. We look at different ways of doing things so that we do reduce our actual consumption. At the same time, I think one important part is being a zoo that reached out to millions of people every year. We also champion advocacy. I think really allowing, engaging people who come to the park through the education program, to our visitors in the park, to tell them that the importance of the choices that they actually can make, the more sustainable choice that they can make, and it doesn't really take a lot from them. Sometimes it's a small change in their life, they could also impact the wildlife in a big way.
Yeah, on that point, when you talk about seafood and meat consumption in such a foodie culture that Singapore is, it can be a very sensitive issue, can't it? And I say this myself as a vegetarian, it can be a very, very sensitive issue. You know, people saying, I'm just eating seafood, you're taking away my favourite dishes or you're changing my favourite dishes and so on. So just generally, because I know that you have moved towards 100% sustainable seafood sources already within your F&B outlets, what are some of the challenges that you have faced convincing the public, sometimes a sceptical public, that this is the way to go? Maybe Dr. Lee Hui Mien, you can go first.
So I think there's two parts to this, right? So first of all, there's a few stages to it, I would say. Number one, we believe that we should give choices to people still as a park that caters to quite a lot of people. So From a sustainability, from a seafood perspective, the first thing we need to do is really education to allow people to understand what sustainable seafood is all about and when we're talking about it. I think half of it is really you will win people over by allowing people to understand what it is about. And then the second part is also to clear up the misconception that, you know, sustainable seafood doesn't taste as nice, which is not true. So I think with this two done, then it's really making sure that at the end of the day, the offerings that we have is as tasty as non-sustainable choices. So that's what I think that should be the strategy, because at the end of the day, as a consumer, whether or not I think you're concerned about sustainability, the bottom line is when you are, to your point about foodie, as long as it tastes good, people would not say no to sustainability.
And Francis, when you look at the procurement for seafood for your animals at the parks at WRS, what are the considerations you go through, and how much seafood are you actually going through each day to feed your animals there?
It's quite a bit.
Yeah.
So that's why really going into this sustainability journey is really important for us. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that we use more fish for our F&B outlets or for our animals?
Oh, I'll say for your animals.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
Do you go by kilogram, kilogram weights, or how do you quantify the
amounts? Yeah, could you give us like a number?
Tons. I can go with tons. we actually use 8 tons a month of seafood.
Wow.
Oh, that's more than most major restaurants as well.
Yeah. So how do you procure it then? How do you, and along the sustainability journey, you know, how do you make sure that it is raised in the right way that's consistent with what you guys want to do?
Well, we like to use some internationally certified programs, such as the Aquaculture Stewardship Council or the Marine Stewardship Council, which are ASC, MSC. Originally, that was the really big popular ones, and I think they're still the biggest players out there. And that gave us a few challenges because, especially in Singapore, where sustainable seafood is still, you know, burgeoning, it's still in its infancy. When I was looking for sustainable fish for all our animals, the choices were a little bit limited because I'm not buying fish fillets, right? I'm buying whole fish because our animals just want to eat all the organs and just go right in there and get all the really good vitamins and minerals that are usually found in the organs. So a fillet will not cut it.
Mm.
So my options are even more reduced. And then I have to figure out the right fat content for the right animal species and the right size, because a lot of them will swallow it whole.
And on that point, Dr. Cabana, this may seem a bizarre question. As humans, we do strive towards a broader diet, a more sustainable diet, less meat, less poultry in some cases. Is that something that can be done with your animals and within your habitats? Or is it really a case of, no, this is what they eat in the wild, this is exclusively what they must eat in your reserves? Or can you adapt their diet slightly as well? Is that a possible thing?
That's a great question. We definitely can adapt the diet somewhat. So without going through the whole question about is it ethical or not, let's sidestep that for now because that gets very messy very quickly. But let's use the example of a sea lion. So they are pure carnivores. So if I want to feed them chicken, if for any reason they would decide to even eat it, which I don't know if they would, then they probably would survive if I give them tons of supplements to reenact the nutrients that are found in fish.
Right.
You know? So I could even make up a jelly. I could put all of these different supplements and make this jelly that has the same nutrients as the fish.
Right.
And I could feed him like that, and he probably would survive if he chooses to eat it.
Hmm.
But then that's why I'm saying, yeah, it's possible, but I don't think that that's the messaging that we want to put out, because we have such a great platform to teach Singaporeans and the world on sustainable practices for seafood, for meat consumption, for, you know, it goes all the way to plastic and everything else.
Well, it's a very interesting and urgently important topic in terms of taking care of our oceans. So many thanks to Dr. Lee Hui Mien and also Dr. Francis Cabana for putting that in perspective with us to let us know what's happening at Wildlife Reserves and Mandai Park Development. We appreciate your time today.
Thanks for having us.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.